Dear friends, we are here to observe this special meeting on this very important occasion, which we call the ULT Day, 25th of June 1919, marks the passing away of Mr. Robert Crosby. Robert Crosby, as we will see in the course of the talk, was the one who was instrumental in putting the movement back on its track, which had almost derailed because of the various weaknesses in human nature and mistakes of students. So, firstly, to understand what ULT is, we must understand the Theosophical movement. We are observing the ULT Day. What is ULT? We must understand what is Theosophical movement, and that comes again, it goes hand in hand with the understanding of who are the founders of the Theosophical movement and what is Theosophy itself. So the ULT, Theosophical movement, the founders of the movement, Theosophy itself. Understanding, the increased understanding in each one of these helps us to understand the other better. In the ancient temple of Luxor in Egypt, ancient Egypt, it said there were two parts, two sections. One is the outer section, and the entry to the outer section was for those who were beginning the process of initiation, the beginning initiates, and then there was an inner section, and only those who had proven themselves worthy of a higher knowledge were allowed entry into the inner section. Now, one of the proverbs written on the walls of the outer section says, the body is the house of God. The body is the house of God. And in the inner section, it seems, it was written, the proverb was, man, know thyself, and thou shalt know the gods. Knowing thyself, thou shalt know the gods. So the reason why this is mentioned is, in order to understand the movement, the founders of the movement, Theosophy, it points us in the direction of understanding our true nature. Knowing our true nature is again the key to understand all these things in their true spirit. So we must begin with man. What is his nature? What is man? Is he merely a biological unit, a neurological machine? Is he a social animal? What the ancients say is that he is none of this, he is beyond all this, and he is a spiritual entity, he is a divine entity, and has a divine origin. The four Mahavakyas of the Vedas, the essence of it is this, that man is essentially one with divinity. There is no other divinity which man can find apart from his own true self, his own inner divine self. And if this divinity, this spirit is infinite and is the source of all, it implies that universal brotherhood is a fact in nature. That we all come from the same origin, we all have obligation towards each other, and we all affect each other whether we know it or not, whether we are aware of it or not, whether we are ready to accept it or not. Irrespective of all this, we constantly affect each other and therefore are responsible for each other. There is this very nice example given by a Sufi saint who says that just like there is a earthen lamp and it covers the light, it covers the flame, and there are various holes of different sizes and different shapes on the earthen lamp, and each of them appear different, but actually they are all but reflections, not reflections, they are all but the same light. They are in essence the one and the same light, one and the same light arising from the same flame. So this is the essence of man, this is the primary nature of man, the fundamental nature of man. And if that is the case, then why are we all here in this earth and in the condition that we find ourselves in? The answer that is given is in the scriptures that this earthly existence is not permanent, that we all know. And but more than that, it is cyclic. That is, we take up this body, as the Gita says, just like we wear clothes and remove it to wear another set of clothes. It is cyclic, coming into this earth, experiencing, making causes, experiencing the effects of the causes, and then leaving this body and going back to a state of rest, again to be followed by another phase of activity, which is another incarnation. And the purpose for this cyclic existence is to realize that we are all not different, we are all not separate, to realize that essential unity of oneself with the whole of manifested universe. This is the purpose, and this has been the purpose, this is the purpose of the whole evolution of universe. The purpose of universe, why the universe exists, as Patanjali says, is for the experience and emancipation of the soul. This earthly existence is where we experience it, and through it we have to weave the way for our emancipation. The reason why we are recollecting these teachings is it will point us to the fact that there have been at all times beings who have reached this perfected state. There have always been at all times, in all cultures, all lands, beings who have trod this path, who have tread this path, and who have reached the perfection, which is realizing one's unity with all beings, overcoming the idea of separateness. And it is these beings who are the founders of the Theosophical movement. It is these beings who initiated this movement, Theosophical movement, with a specific purpose in mind. And if we understand what their nature is, what, in what position they stand, and their attainment, even if we get a glimpse of it, we will understand what Theosophical movement is, and what their work is, and why the movement was started, initiated. See, such beings have overcome all the limitations of matter, all the illusions of matter is overcome. They are beyond all caste, creed, color, sect, etc. And they have become one with that flame which the Sufi saying speaks of, that one common source. And being one with it, they identify themselves with all. They realize the unity with all, and therefore are, by their very nature, they are compassionate. They are compassion itself. And it is this compassion, this understanding, which makes them incessantly work for the true welfare of humanity. As the voice of the silence calls them, they are the true guardian wall who guard the humanity, whether the humans recognize them or not recognize them, or whether they respect them or persecute them. Irrespective of all this, they are the guardian wall who protect the humanity from greater evils. And therefore, what is their work? Their work is promulgation of the right knowledge, because it is only knowledge which can ensure permanent peace, happiness and progress to the whole of the whole collection of sentient beings. Only right knowledge can effect this change and nothing else. So they preserve this knowledge of man's nature, purpose and destiny, and they incessantly promulgate it in accordance with cyclic and karmic laws. And these are the founders of the Theosophical movement. And in 1875, when the TS was launched, TS was supposed to be an instrument for carrying out the purposes of this grand movement. And it is not necessary that they come out into the world in all to carry out this work. When the conditions are ripe, then they themselves come. When the conditions are not ripe, they send the best disciples, students, to do their work, their companions. And periodically, they keep bringing this knowledge to in front of human mind again and again, again and again. Because just like a river, which is very pure and pristine in its origin, when it flows down the mountains and flows through the human habitation, a lot of muck is added and pollution and contamination takes place, and the river is polluted over its course, and just like that, even knowledge which is presented to human mind, in its origin, all religions and philosophies at their base are true in their essence, but human mind adds fancy, adds erroneous interpretations, and then the philosophy becomes corrupt. So they come back to revive this, and this is again the meaning which we find in the famous fourth chapter of the Gita, which is come again and again for the resurrection of the right. So at ULT, this body of students who follow a set of principles which is actually what ULT is, we find that this is an integral part of that grand theosophical movement. And many enquirers ask us, why we study only HPB, Judge and Crosby, and not this, that or other person and his or her teachings? The reason is because when we study the philosophy, we understand that they were the selected agents of, direct agents of the masters. They were the messengers who were the ones who recorded the message for us to study. They were the ones who brought Theosophy to the world, and all others are but students. All others, whatever they write is but their opinion. And if we want to know Theosophy, we must go back to the source, which is H.P. Blavatsky and William Quantrich. And when we study their teachings, it is self-evident, you know, how harmonious their writings are, and there is absolutely no discord in any of their writings, in any of their teachings, whether as a magazine or in a book form. So we can understand this by our own study. Next is about the philosophy itself. Now, this philosophy which we study as Theosophy is not opinion of anybody. It is not the recorded opinion of this or that person. Neither is it a speculation, a fanciful speculation. Neither is it a new fan theory or a religion or a dogma. You know, we mentioned about those great beings, the perfected beings who have reached the pinnacle of perfection and knowledge. It is their accumulated wisdom, a portion of which we study as Theosophy, that broad general principles of that philosophy, of that accumulated wisdom, is what we study as Theosophy. So we are not asked to believe anything. There is no belief here, either a book or a person. There is no belief at all. There is no blind belief. What is expected of us is study of the philosophy and its verification, as Mr. Judge says, using our own the judgment and the discrimination which is latent in us. Is latent in all beings, all of us. So this accumulated wisdom gives us the means to verify the validity of this knowledge. So we find how erroneous it was, as we find in the history of the movement, for many students to go and alter this recorded message and say that that was Theosophy. So this is not an opinion to be altered or improved upon. In fact, Mr. Crosby's last article which was published was with the title, "Is Theosophy a Progressive System of Religion?" And he says in that it is not so, it is not a progressive system, but it is a complete body of knowledge, a body of knowledge to be studied by us. So we find in the history of the movement many such mistakes were done. Many things, their own opinions of all members and students was passed on as Theosophy, and ULT was in a way a response to such mistakes, to such errors. So the basic principles of one of the basic principles of ULT is loyalty to the founders of the movement and their teachings and their cause, and following along the lines which they have laid down very clearly in their teachings. This must be remembered by all of us. So these beings and their messengers, their agents, seek out companions because there is so much darkness in the world that this philosophy needs promulgation. And how do we promulgate it? Firstly, by studying the philosophy, study of philosophy, and next by exemplifying it There is no greater promulgation which is possible, neither through the platform words nor by writing articles, though all of them have their own inherent worth. The best promulgation is living the life, living the life, leading the life. So that is what is expected of, not expected, that is what we find enshrined in the principles of UIT. So the aim of this grand theosophical movement is to promulgate this knowledge of the true philosophy of life. In order to do what? In order to make each one of us realize that divinity is within oneself, and following that spiritual path is the means of happiness of all beings. That there is that nice story mentioned in few books in Vedanta, that there are 10 people who want to cross from one shore to another in a boat. So they all sit in the boat, and each one of them start counting whether to ensure that none of them are missed out. And each one of them counts everybody else except oneself. Each one of them take turns and find that there are still 9 people and not 10, because each one of them is excluding himself. But a sympathetic onlooker on the other shore who has crossed calls out to them, one who is counting, and says that there are not 9 people, there are 10, because you are the 10th. So then the realization dawns on them that yeah, there are 10 people, I was missing out myself. And this is an example of how the teachers point out the true way and show. They don't, it is not like divinity is something that is new which comes in us, but divinity was always there in man. But the teacher shows the way how to realize that. How to realize that. And when, as Viveka Chudamani says, when we realize it, when an aspirant realizes, then he sees that all this time he only imagined himself to be bound, to be sorrow, to be in sorrow, to be taking incessant births, whereas in reality he was not that. In reality he was always divine. So the movement, theosophical movement, points out the teachings, the recorded teaching points out to man that divinity is to be found within yourself. And that divinity is not something different from what it is in anybody or anything else. There is only one common spirit, and we are all but reflections of that. The realization of this as a body of humanity, and thus raising the whole of sentient beings to a higher level, is the aim of the theosophical movement. Though officially we find the word theosophical movement used in 1875 during the launch of the TS, the movement itself is ageless. We find that it starts when time immemorial, no beginning. And what is the part that we associates play or have to play? What is the responsibility that we have? You know, in the great masters, like, we find this mentioned about the condition of the present world. And let me read this paragraph, which clearly shows the present condition of the world, and from that we can understand what is the role that, what is the responsibility of associates. So the great master says, the intellectual portion of mankind seems to be fast dividing into two classes. The one unconsciously preparing for itself long periods of temporary annihilation or states of non-consciousness, owing to the deliberate surrender of intellect and its imprisonment in the narrow grooves of bigotry and superstition, a process which cannot fail to lead to the utter deformation of the intellectual principle. The other, unrestrainedly indulging in animal propensities with the deliberate intention of submitting to annihilation pure and simple in case of failure, and to millenniums of degradation after physical dissolution. Those intellectual classes, reacting upon the ignorant masses, which they attract and which look up to them as noble and fit examples to be followed, degrade and morally ruin those they ought to protect and guide. Between degrading superstition and still more degrading brutal materialism, the white of truth has hardly room whereon to rest her weary, unwelcome feet." Unquote. This gives us the condition of mankind and tells us where to look for a solution to the root cause of the problem. Where do we look for to solve the problem at its root, and not try to, you know, settle with temporary solutions, and not even solutions, half solutions, such as social reform, political reform, economic changes. All these are but effects of that primary error, and that error is ignorance, and the solution to that problem of ignorance is knowledge. So the white dove of truth, which hardly has a room whereon to rest her weary, unwelcome feet, has to be welcomed first within our own mind and heart by purifying oneself. So this divine knowledge must be studied and assimilated in our own life to begin with. In the declaration of ULT, it is clearly mentioned, and very evident also when we study the philosophy, that exemplification in practice of these principles. How? By realizing universal brotherhood, not inter-study. Of course, study of books is the first step, but if it merely remains there, it becomes intellectual study. What is necessary is study from the light of universal brotherhood. And the work that we have to accomplish, again, we find it very nicely mentioned, very nicely, you know, put forth in the letters that have helped me, where Mr. Jett says, "It is not high learning that is needed, but solely devotion to humanity, faith in masters, in the higher self, a comprehension of the fundamental truths of theosophy, and a little, only a little, sincere attempt to present those fundamental truths to people who are in desperate need of them." This is the work of associates. This is also the work of associates. First is study, comprehension of truth, with the view of helping those who are in desperate need of them, exemplifying it and promulgating the teachings. Elsewhere he says, "The best and most important teacher is one's seventh principle centered in the sixth, that is Atman centered in Buddhi." He further says, "The more you divest yourself of the illusionary sense of personal isolation, and the more you are devoted to the service of others, the more Maya disappears, and nearer you approach to divinity." This is the key to overcome illusions, to overcome that illusionary sense, and overcome Maya. Not mere study is sufficient, and not merely a path towards one's own personal moksha. That is not the thing. What is needed is to divest oneself of the illusionary sense of personal isolation and devotion to the service of others. Because, as we see in the philosophy itself, if all of us are reflections of one common spirit, one common divinity, then working for others is the actual, in reality it is working for oneself. But working for oneself means that sense of separateness is still there, and that itself is a block. And he says, as we see in our reading today, that only when that sense of service for humanity is present, that the teachings actually become alive. Otherwise you will make some progress in the study, but there is a barrier. You can't go beyond that. So we find that impersonality, which is one of the pillars of ULT, stems from this philosophical study of the philosophy. Impersonality is the first change that we see in oneself when we study this philosophy. And this impersonality is reflected in all the work that is done under the umbrella of ULT, where you find people are not important, but constantly the endeavor should be to point to the message, the messengers and the masters. This is the crux. In the June article of the Theosophical Movement, the hard copy of which we haven't received yet, but which is uploaded on the ULT India website, there is this very nice article, What Constitutes a Lodge, which brings out very vital points to be pondered by all of us who are students of Theosophy. There a very nice example is given where an old gramophone advertisement is quoted, which says, "The gramophone you do not hear, you only hear the music." That's the advertisement, and the student writes in that article that this is you know, this in a way explains that the instrument is not what is important. The organization, the instrument, the person, all these are but vehicles, and they should not make any noise. What should be pointed to is the pure music, which is the recorded message. If the instrument, the gramophone starts making noise, then it adds distortion. It distorts the music, disturbs it, and then ultimately destroys the music. So, instrument should not come between one who wants to listen to the music and the music itself. Similarly, each one of us have to individually as well as collectively follow the ideal of impersonality, wherein the person is not what is important, but the teachings. And secondly, importantly, which we all can remember, a constant test to see that we are not giving our own opinions in the name of Theosophy, but constantly check ourselves to see that we are actually referring to the philosophy which is given by HPB and Judge in their recorded message. So we find that study, unity and work, as Mr. Crosby says, study of the philosophy in order to, with the view of not selfish comprehension, but with the view of promulgating it, because this alone can solve the problems of which beset the human, which beset the whole of mankind at its root. So study with the idea of unity, which is promulgation for all, because the good of all in the good of all lies the good of each one. And study, unity and work. Work first upon oneself, as we find Mr. Judge mentioning. Work upon oneself, which is purifying oneself, wherein the white dove of truth can have a welcome land, a welcome place. And that is the first step. Study and purification, which again we find very nicely mentioned in the great master's letter, where he says, all of us have to get rid of our own ego, the illusory apparent self, to recognize our true self in a transcendental divine life. But if we would not be selfish, we must strive to make other people see the truth and recognize the reality of the transcendental self, the Buddha, the Christ or God of every creature. So we find constantly emphasized in the writings of the teachers that the true progress lies in first study, and next is the desire to help others, to be the better able to help and teach others. Teach not in the sense of the teacher, but teach in the sense that giving out to others or pointing out to others what the philosophy says, what theosophy says. So with these remarks, let us conclude by saying that we have a great opportunity here, great opportunity, and the opportunity is to have a weight in the destiny of the race. And this golden opportunity to even the fortune to even come in touch with a philosophy which alone can rationally solve all the miseries which we find in our individual as well as collective life. So this opportunity is afforded to us, and the way to acquire this knowledge is given to us, and ULT is a school we are fortunate enough to come in touch with, wherein we can come in touch with this philosophy and determine for ourselves how much we want to take part in this grand scheme of aiding the evolution of humankind.